Good morning. We continue with our study of Sefer Yeshayahu as part of the Nachyomi series, as we do every single day. L'ilui Nishmas Avi Mori Harav Hillel Ben Meir Yechiel Mechel Hareini Kavaras Mishkavo. And of course, in memory of the late great Rabbi Jerry Acker Zichrono Lebracha, we are in Sefer Yeshayahu. And today, we could be beginning Sefer Yeshayahu, but we're up to Perek Vav. I say we could be because this is Yeshayahu HaNavi's very first Nevuah. It just happens to be that it comes first in the sixth parak, after five parakim beforehand. And in this parak, which is also the Haftorah for Parashas Yisro, Yeshayahu HaNavi describes this first Nevuah. And he describes when it was. It took place during the time period of the death of Uzziah HaMelech, which of course, as we know, it is a little bit hard to actually tap down. Uzziah HaMelech actually suffered a prolonged death because, as we learned in Sefer Melachim, he died early and hidden, right? And Yosam stepped in, and the dates didn't correspond. And at that point in time, we referenced the Sefer Divrei Hayamim, where Uzziah was struck with Taras when he tried to bring a carbon on the Mizbeach. Why? Uzziah got this idea into his head that as the Melech, he was allowed to go ahead and do that which the Kohanim are really specifically allowed to do. So when he got up to go and be Makrib this Ketoros on the Mizbeach, right, he got Saras on his forehead. And that was the death that we refer to since Mitzorah Chashuv Kameis, since somebody with Saras is considered as though he is dead. So although he ruled for 52 years, Uzziahu, technically, he was active only until the 27th year, and afterwards he was in seclusion, and his son Yosam became the de facto leader, the ceremonial leader, in his place. Now, Uzziah was a tzaddik and a Talmud Chacham, Rakab Amos Lo Saru. Whatever he undertook, religiously, politically, militarily, he did very, very well. But the success went to his head, and that's where he got himself into the difficulty. And as soon as the tzaras appeared on his forehead, he was rushed out of the Beis HaMikdash. And that moment, he spent the rest of his life in a special seclusion in a specially built house that both represented what he was able to be as a king, and also the other side. Now, that the same moment that Tzaras appeared on his head, a powerful earthquake shook the Beis HaMikdash, and that caused and was felt the aftershocks affect all of Am Yisrael and all of Eretz Yisrael, which caused everyone to go ahead and run for their lives. And that's what Zechariah HaNavi makes reference to when he says, "V'nastem kasher nastem ne'arash bimei Uzziah Melech Yehuda," that you fled like you fled during the run, during the earthquake that took place in the days of Uzziah. So here we find Yeshayahu HaNavi over there, and he's where Yeshayahu sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, on a high elevated throne, that with the small parts filling the Heichal, and he sees the Malachim, first the Seraphim, and they're calling out to one another, and they say, and when they call out to one another, they declare, "Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh, Hashem Tzevakos," which serves as the basis for the Kedusha that we recite today when we go to Shul. Yeshayahu HaNavi has the same Masa Merkava. He sees the same imagery described by Yechezkel in the famous episode of the Merkava. But as one who is in Eretz Yisrael and closer, a Navi on even a higher level, his description is much, much simpler to the simple eye. As the Gemara tells us, when Yeshayahu saw what he saw it like a townsperson who sees it all the time, as opposed to a visitor who gets awed the way Yechezkel did. And so certainly that is what happens. And the doorposts, he says, shake from the sound of the call. The house is filling with smoke. And this is all what's going on in front of Yeshayahu here in Perek Vav. And so Yeshayahu declares, "Wow, I realize I have to be silent." In other words, I realize that I don't have a clean mouth, right? I see all the malachim praising Hashem. I'm not ready, and I'm also living b'soch am tmeis v'asayim anochi yoshev. I live in the midst of a people who are tmeis v'asayim. So the Jewish people go to the Beis HaMikdash, and they daven to Hashem, but outside the Beis HaMikdash, they don't live by those words. So Chazal tell us in Masechta Yevamos that Yishayahu was punished for saying this. While you can go ahead and criticize the people, you can't talk badly about the people in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And for that, he gets punished. And that's what happens. One of the Malachim come over, and he's holding a burning coal with tongs that he took from Mizbeach that was in the image, and he touches it upon Yishayahu's mouth, and he says, look, this touched your lips, your sin had been removed, and you're going to have a kapara, an atonement for it. Now, what was going on? He sees his lips being touched by the coal, he sees that his lips are forgiven, and the fact is that before Yishayahu had become a Nabi, he had seen the moral decline of the people, but he was silent and he didn't say anything against it. And the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that kol sheyesh biyado limchos veino mochen en ashalav, if you have an ability to protest and you don't, so you get punished for it. And so he says to him, listen, when Yishayahu says this is the beginning of your process, that now v'sar bonecha, he realizes that at this moment he was a human being with a bechira to transcend even that of the malachim. And so when human lips speak truth, when they could have spoken untruth, says Rabbi Schwab, when they say words of kindness or constructive musar, when they could have said something hurtful or kept silent, so they are greater than even the malachim who say kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. And then Yishayahu continues. After this, he says, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, who am I going to send? After all, because the Medrash tells us that there were three Nevi'im who were there when he took over, Hoshea, Amos, and Micha, but they weren't respected by the people. Micha got slapped in his face, Hoshea was embarrassed, and Amos, who had a speech impediment, was made fun of by the people. And so Yishayahu says, okay, I'm here, send me, right? And the Medrash tells us that he gets rewarded for going ahead and accepting God's call. Contrast that with Yonah, right, who does not respond accordingly. Hashem says, look, go tell the people that you become fattened by Yishman, Hashmein Lev HaMazeh, that the Jewish nation caused itself to become fattened, right? The children got pampered and spoiled, and the parents and role models set poor examples for them, because the parents also would pursue a luxurious life with unnecessary pleasure. And that makes it such a nation insensitive to the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we have to realize that the words of the Nevi'im make no impression, because they're so filled with pleasures and luxuries that they lost the ability to react. And that's one of the great challenges of the Yetzer Hara, right? That we have a responsibility to make sure that no matter what we're doing for ourselves, we cannot become deafened to hearing the word of the Hashem. And so therefore, Yishayahu's first in the mission is to tell the people that their luxurious lifestyle is also the thing that's going to cause their downfall. By overindulging in life's physical pleasures, we lose the ability to react to the Nevi'im. We have to be open to that idea. Now, the Gemara tells us in Megillah that there were thousands of Nevi'im that existed among the Jewish people, but they don't have thousands of chapters in the Sefer Nevi'im, because only a Nevuah that's necessary for future generations get recorded. And so Rabbi Schwab in his commentary says that we can assume that during Yishayahu's time there were other Nevi'im who chastised the people, but their Musar must have been meant only for the local people, for the contemporaries. Therefore it doesn't get into Tanakh. Yishayahu, on the other hand, his Nevuah has relevance. His timeless mission was to teach the Jewish people that although you can suffer from religious infirmity because of being desensitized to the words of Torah, that illness is not irreversible. That if you make an effort, you can get over your laziness and your insensitivity to Torah and mitzvos. And that's really what our job is to do. And so Yishayahu asks Hashem, how long is this supposed to go on? And Hashem says, what do you mean, how long? How long? He says until the cities are going to be desolate, and the soil will be desolate, and Hashem will distance man, and he will move him away in the world, right? And he said, even if 1/10 remain in the land, they'll be able to be to fall prey to the to the destruction. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will, unfortunately, will have to remove mankind far away, because thousands of years man has been removed from the goal of recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so the Ode, the Navi continues, the Ode Ba Assyria, right? Vishaba Bahisa Lavar Kaila Vachalon Asher Bishalecha Samatsevas Bam Zera Kodesh Matsavta. But like the oak and the terebinth, although they shed their leaves, the trunk remains with them. And the trunk is the holy seed. So again, we have a responsibility to realize that in the end of the day, that the Jewish people can suffer enormous devastation and destruction again and again, but it'll never be destroyed. There'll always be a part that remains. Throughout Jewish history, we lose millions of Jews. And this begins with the Galus of the Aseres HaShvatim, but later, during Bayis Sheni, there were inroads of Tzedukim and Christians and whatever, and Karaim and massacres throughout history, and reformers, and Nazism, and communism, and all the different things, and socialism, all these things. But and despite the enormous losses, the dropping off of so many branches, there's always a trunk which has Zera Kodesh, which has the holy seed. And that's where the great hope exists that Yishayahu offers to his people, both those living in his time and to you and me today. Everyone have a fantastic day.